since then, but I'm not sure.
All right, go to Philippians. Let's start in chapter 2.
Yeah, I remember you said something about the word bowels, meaning something.
The bowels of compassion.
Yeah, mercies.
All right. If there be therefore any consolation, did I turn this on, Peter? I can't read. Yeah, I did. Never mind. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. And bowels just means your inner response, your inner emotional response is what it basically means. But anyway, going on. Fulfill ye me a joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. This is why Bible study is so important, but it's not important if you sit there like a bump on a log and never say anything. You got to, if you have questions, you got to say it. If you have disagreements, you got to speak it, because otherwise you're just a bump on a log. Amen? A little bit?
I did find some notes, went way back to June 22nd, we completed the first chapter of Philippians.
Yeah,
we started chapter 2.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
And again, this thing of being of one accord and of one mind, accord is that you agree and that with the revelation is seen, and your mind, if that mind of Christ, but here it's just the mind, you agree with it in every possible way. Now, the only way I could agree with all this is when I was fed up with the world. And then I got seduced for a while because I was going to do world stuff for Jesus, and that was kind of crazy, but it didn't work. So anyway, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of which and the things of others. Sorry. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And again, as we've talked about 1,000 times, no reputation is the word kino, and it means you're emptied to the point of a vacuum. So there's a direct line between you and the Holy Spirit and you and the Father. But the humility of them all is so great that they will not and cannot occupy where you are. So if your mind is there, then the cut or the access to the Holy Spirit and to the Father, because you've put Christ back in prison, and now you're just a Gentile again, thinking like one. But made himself of no reputation, empty, and took upon him the form of a servant, and it was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In my opinion, this is the universal problem in this community. There's no fear. If there's no fear, there's no trembling. We've become too comfortable. Any comments? Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. We'll spend some time looking at fear. Looking at trembling. Let's go to Mark 16. Mark 16.
Thank you.
This one is an obvious one, but this is when. Well, let's look. Start in verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Solomon and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was a very great stone. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. And behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and you shall see him as he said unto you. And they went quickly and fled from the sepulchre, where they trembled and were amazed, neither said anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, think about it. Jesus had told you he would be resurrected on the third day, and that was just a sop or something. And now, the people who knew him best were frightened when they saw the empty tomb. And then none of the disciples believed it when they first saw him. Now, from our standpoint, and each of us as individuals, we must come to a point where that idea of that he has risen from the dead, and not only risen from the dead, he's available to you at any point, at any time, but that has to produce the same kind of fear and trembling that was in them, because it cost you everything. No. For some, the cost of everything is gradual. For others, we could go on and on. For me, I bet I spend more time in trembling than I do in praising. And that may not, maybe you all are a lot better than I am. Does that communicate to anybody?
Why trembling on your part?
Because I'm afraid I will, in any sum and any way, offend the Father. And in any way I have, that I would get, by something I said or did, that I would, there's somebody I haven't forgiven. There's on and on. But basically it means trembling because it seems that I'm always putting spots in on the garment for some reason. And the spots on the garment is what where the trembling comes from. That's when you read the ones that have spots in their garment are expelled into outer darkness. And if that doesn't give you fear, then I don't know what will.
But the finished work of Christ covers all that.
No, it doesn't.
It does for me.
I know, and that's where we disagree.
So where is Jesus?
The finished work of Christ is complete.
What did he die for?
For you to see the vanity of the world so you can empty yourself.
Exactly.
But the emptiness has to be on your part. He will not violate your will, if you will. He only occupies where you are not. That's why it says, if any man hate not his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, yea, and his own wife, life also, he can't be my disciple. Now that's pretty strong. Now that's why we're looking at this fear and trembling. We can see how universal it is throughout the scriptures. To me, it's arrogance if you say you don't have any fear of trembling. And arrogance is the worst fear there is, the worst thing you can have.
Why you read and you stopped at the fear and trembling?
Well, I'll read more, but that's why we're stopping there, is to look at fear and trembling.
The next sentence covers that, doesn't it?
Well, if you read it and tell me.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So in your
right. When you empty.
Right. In your emptiness, are you not then covered?
No, because you resurrected the evil one and he's now your God.
But then you didn't empty.
Right. It's empty and full, empty and full, empty and full. You can't have them both ways. You can't be in the world as you're going into and then the kingdom. You can't serve two masters.
I don't see where that connects to what we just said. If you empty, you empty.
But then you resurrect it. You resurrect the evil one by using your mind again. And so the garment is spotted.
So then you empty again.
Yeah, then you repent. But you better have some fear and trembling about what that repentance totally means. It's not an automatic because you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior or some other asinine word.
How have you accepted Jesus? What do you say about that? You know things.
Because the acceptance of Jesus as your personal Savior keeps you alive because there's separation between...
Because you're saying personal. But if you accept him as the Savior, then... somewhere,
right.
There's a oneness in you and him, and that is...
But he will not occupy where you are. And I mean, this is the whole first century church.
You pick up the cross.
You repent every time you use your mind. and you no longer justify it. Because if you justify it in any way, you are they that justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly approved among men is abomination unto God. And whatever values you give to the world, you're walking in abomination unto God. And the only way out is repentance, but you can't repent if you don't see it. But that's why the fear and trembling that you pray that this will take place in the position in which you are in fear and trembling, empty. That's why I spend much of my time in fear and trembling, because it's a, you know, in the armor I resurrect myself. But if I justified myself, you might as well throw me out. You might as well throw me in the pit right now. This is critical. All right. We're back. Let's go to... Well, let's go to Isaiah 66.
I have to leave in about 5 minutes.
All right, we'll just do this one word, then we'll come back. Thus saith the Lord. Everybody there? Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Now, this is why you have to see the entire Old Testament, including the building of the temple, was a revelation of Christ. In other places he says, I hate your abominations, your sacrifices, your holy days, because they didn't see him any longer as a revelation, as a parable. They saw him, they looked at it as fact. And that's why it's only the Abel was the first Christian, because he saw through it. All right.
What's that scripture again? I was writing down.
Well, we're going to study through 66, 2 and 3, I think, or 2 and
6.
Anyway, the
first.
56.
No wonder I'm the wrong chapter. 66.
For all those things mine hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord, but to this will I look, even to him that is poor of is of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. If you say, well, that's just for the Old Testament, then you don't understand the Old Testament. Then we go on. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth the lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as though he offered swine. And he that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Well, that's a good place to stop.
It is pretty cool.
And we'll go on from there. If the creek don't rise, then I'm able to get up.
I mean, that first set describes about where is my place of rest, and then it says where it is, and a poor, contrite spirit, determine that it's worth.
Yeah. And that doesn't ever, that never changes.
Yeah.
That's why I'm studying trembling and fear, because it should never leave you. If it does, you become arrogant. Think on these things. Take a big time.